Okay, Philippians chapter 2. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Marching right along here through this book, and remember now, again, the theme is joy. And Paul is trying to write to these Philippian believers to let them know that they too can have joy, no matter the circumstances of life they're going through and that they're facing. And their circumstances were very bleak. Remember, they were going through persecution under the cruel hand of Nero. And Nero would round them up like dogs, cast them in prison, have them killed. It was awful. So the circumstances surrounding their culture, their living, everything about it was very bleak. But Paul wanted them to know, as believers, you can still have joy. And joy is found in Christ. Not in your circumstances, but in Christ. Again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So, as believers, understand something. You and I can have joy. And I want you to know something. I believe that God's people, Christians, should be some of the happiest people on earth. I think they should. Absolutely should. Because of all the people on earth, they're the ones that have Christ in them, the hope of glory. So they have every reason to rejoice and be happy. They face the same circumstances as others, but they don't face them alone, you see. So you can still have joy. I believe Christians should be some of the happiest people on earth. And when you are, even through times of trouble, it says a lot. Not necessarily about you, but it says a lot about your God. It says that He is real. It says that He is good. It says that He is caring. It says that He is gracious. It says that He is loving and so much more. So I want to encourage you. Let Jesus shine in you and through you, even in the midst of pain and great trouble. And one way you can let Jesus shine in you and through you is, again, our theme verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So let Jesus shine in you and through you. So, he's writing to them about joy. And if you remember this past Sunday, we began looking, addressing some seeds of division that were beginning to be planted among the members of this great church. And we saw how to begin to dissolve those divisions in our lives as we looked at verses 1 through 8 in chapter number 2. We saw he said to let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Stop your pride. He says, serve one another. Let each esteem other better than themselves. And he said this in verses 5 through 8. Look at it with me. This will kind of kick off what we're looking at this evening. But verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we said, look, you want to start dissolving divisions among yourselves, see Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Let him be your example. And because of this great example of what Jesus did for us in verses 5 through 8, because everything that he has done, then we come to verse number 9, and it says this word, wherefore. Wherefore. Now, this word is a connective word, meaning because of this, or for this reason, wherefore. And when you find that word wherefore, you got to find out what it's wherefore. Really, it works better with therefore, but anyway. It's the same concept, okay? But you got to find out why it's there. So for this reason of what Jesus has done, this reason of his service, his sacrifice, the salvation that he has provided for us, we see these next verses, verses 9 through 11. Look at it with me. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, for this reason of his service, sacrifice, and salvation, with his willful humiliation and sacrifice, he now, Jesus, as we see here, he is exalted. His name is exalted, and there's no name like the name of Jesus Christ. No name. Hey, look, I can name some names to you, and I know you will know what they're famous for. All right, let's try it. We'll say some names. You tell me how you know them, what they're famous for. Michael Jordan. Football. Oh, no, just kidding. Basketball, of course. Greatest basketball player probably ever, right? How about this one? Wayne Gretzky. Hockey. Tom Brady. Oh, Football. Maybe I should have said Peyton Manning. I don't know. Huh? A lot of Super Bowls, yes. All right, how about this one? Elvis Presley. Okay. Yeah. Music, yeah, that's good. How about this one? Judas Iscariot. Oh, the traitor. How about this one? George Washington, first president of the United States of America. Thomas Edison. Yes, he has been described as America's greatest inventor. Had many in his hands of many different things, including electricity, light bulb, and so forth. How about Leonardo da Vinci? Painter. Which one was his most famous one? Mona Lisa. We could go on and on and on about different names, and as soon as I say them, you'll know what they're famous for. I found it very interesting as I was looking at some of these names and other names that kind of didn't, they were very famous of their time, but they didn't really make history per se. But there's one that if you Google the most famous names, or if you Google the most famous people of all time, do you know whose name will be at the very top of each list? Jesus Christ will be at the top. Folks, understand something. There is no name like the name of Jesus. It is the most important name of all eternity. It's a name that is loved, that is cherished, that is praised, that is adored, that is magnified, that is worshipped, that is exalted, that is used in prayer, but also used in vain as well. The name of Jesus Christ is the most honored name ever and the most hated name ever. You see, the world today, they have no problem with you believing in a higher power. You can say that. Look, you say, I believe in a higher power. Oh, cool. They have no problem with you even using the word God, saying, you know what, I believe in God. Okay. The majority wouldn't have a problem of you saying, I believe in a great spirit. Okay, they'd nod your head and, all right, cool. Some would not even look at you funny if you used the word and say you believed in Allah. But you use the mighty name of Jesus, especially saying that Jesus is the one and true only God. You know what? You're marked. They're going to look at you sideways. You're a little crazy. Why? Because the name of Jesus. Because, listen, if you say that Jesus is the Christ and someone looks at you a little weird, you're saying Jesus Christ is who he claims to be, then they are responsible for their sin and they are accountable to accept him as their Savior or not. So therefore, they try to push that aside because they don't want accountability. All I'm trying to tell you this evening is this: there's no name like the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe Paul is trying to emphasize that in these verses. He's trying to paint that picture to these Philippian believers, trying to encourage them with that fact. So let's consider this evening quickly for the next few moments of this title, all right? The name of Jesus. And let's see what the Bible says about it, at least in this context. God, the Bible has a lot to say about the name of Jesus. But in this context, let's see what we can see about the name of Jesus. Look at it again, verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the first thing about his name is this. Number one, his name should be and is to be exalted. It is to be exalted. The name of Jesus is to be exalted, to be lifted up, to be magnified, to be glorified. Understand, while Jesus walked this earth, men had tried to do the worst they could to the Savior. They ridiculed him. They slandered him. They beat him. They spat upon him. They cursed him. They ultimately crucified him. Even as the Bible says in verse number 8, he being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, we understand from Scripture that no man takes his life from him. He freely lays it down. Okay, we understand that according to John chapter 10, verse 17 through 18. We understand that. But I understand God allowed himself to be taken and to be crucified by the hands of men. And this crucifixion was the worst possible form of capital punishment known to mankind. You could say this, that crucifixion is the worst death possible for any human being to ever suffer through. And he did that for you and for me. But mankind, they have done their absolute best, really, to try to treat him the worst that they possibly could. For this reason, to try and disapprove him, to try and dishonor him, to try and belittle him, to try to stomp out his name and stomp out his message. Listen, they didn't try to stomp out Jesus because of all the miracles that he did. Understand? Yeah, they didn't like him because of his healing power, of helping people getting sight back, getting their hearing back, getting their loved ones back. No, they didn't hate him for that. You know what they hated him for? His message. They hated him for the truth. They tried to dishonor him. But little did men know. The Lord in his infinite wisdom, of course, was going to use what they meant for evil, of course, for good. And for this, to exalt him. Not just to exalt him, but look what the Bible says. Wherefore, because of what Jesus did, his sacrifice, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. So he's not only exalted, but he's highly exalted. What does this mean to be highly exalted? This means this: to exalt to the highest rank and power, to raise to supreme majesty. Supreme majesty. Understand something. The Lord Jesus has been exalted to supreme majesty, meaning there's none greater. There is none greater than the name of Jesus Christ. None. Zero greater. The Bible says this, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. There is none other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is none greater. The Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Again, Revelation 17, 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. He is the greatest, supreme majesty. There is none greater than that of Jesus Christ. He has been highly exalted. He is the supreme Lord. There's none greater. Do you know who you're going to answer to one day? It ain't the preacher. It ain't your parents. It's not your grandparents. You're going to answer one day to Jesus Christ himself. You know why? Because there's none greater. If you look in your Bible and you can see at the judgment seat of Christ, every Christian will give an account to Jesus Christ, because there's none greater. If you go over to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, you won't see the judgment seat of Christ there. No, you'll see the great white throne judgment, where every unbeliever will give an account to the Lord himself. Why? Because there's none greater. Understand, the supreme majesty is the one who sits upon the throne. And who is it? Jesus. Look, he is Lord. And not one time did Jesus ever say otherwise. Never. He knows who he is, and he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He, that's Jesus, cannot deny himself. Remember, it was when Paul was on the Damascus Road, and he was going with some with orders from the high priest to go to Damascus and to arrest and apprehend and ultimately put in jail and even to death believers in that area. But as he's on the Damascus Road, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus himself. And here's what was the words exchanged back and forth, all right? Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 6. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he, that's Paul, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he, that's Paul, said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So when Paul asked, when he saw a vision, when he saw Christ, when he asked, he said, Who are you, Lord? Jesus did not respond with this. He didn't respond, Oh, I'm not the Lord, I'm just Jesus. That's not how he responded. No, when he asked, Who are you, Lord? He gave the proper name of I am Jesus. Jesus knows who he is. He has been magnified. He has been exalted to supreme majesty. He is the Lord. And his name, Jesus Christ, should be exalted, should be magnified, should be glorified as such. He has a name above all names. It is exalted. But the question must be asked for each one of us here this evening and those that are watching and those that are here later. Is he? Yes, he's exalted. God's given him a name. He's exalted. But is he exalted in my life? Meaning, who's the greatest? Who is the greatest in your life? Who is the supreme ruler in your life? Now, many of us, we would say, the Lord is, of course. Well, can that statement of, well, of course the Lord is exalted in my life, can that statement be backed up by your actions? Actions speak louder than words, do they not? Can that be backed up by what you do, what you say, where you go? There's a verse that I heard after I gave my life to God, and it's something that's been a convicting verse and really a question every time I think along these lines. And it's this verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus speaking, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's convicting to me. Why are you calling me Lord? You're not even obeying me. Now, what's it mean? What's Lord mean? It means this. Lord means one who has power and authority over others. It means one who has ownership of. And listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, understand this. Jesus owns you. All right? He owns you. Not only does he own you, since he is the creator and you're his creation, he owns you that way. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Colossians 1 and verse 17. But also, as believers, he owns you not only through creation, but also salvation. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, what? "Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." Don't you know this? Paul is writing to the Corinthians, a very carnal, bunch of carnal Christians, you know. He's writing to them and saying, look, don't you understand something? You're not your own. If you're saved by the grace of God, he's purchased you, he's bought you. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus. And he said this, "For you are bought with a price," 1 Corinthians 6:20. "Therefore, glorify, exalt, lift up, magnify." That's what glorify means. "God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," showing ownership there. Look, if we're going to say that Jesus is my Lord, then this fact needs to be backed up and show up in our life. It should show up in our obedience to him, and it should show up in our obedience to his word. Now, I'm not going to go any further into that part of the scripture there as far as obedience. We're going to look into that obedience factor, if you will, in the next few verses on this coming Sunday. As believers, how should we live? It's what's a question there that we're going to look at. But as believers, how should we live in a crooked and perverse nation? All right. Well, one way is this. Be obedient. It sets apart. Look, it's obedience to God. Putting that in action, it should set us apart from all the rest of the world. But anyway, can it be backed up? You say, look, he is exalted, he is my Lord. Is that backed up by the things that you do and the things that you say? So let me ask you, is Jesus exalted in your life? Is he the supreme ruler? Does he sit upon the throne of your heart? I like what one preacher said. He said, Jesus is not valued at all until he is valued above all. I say, amen. Amen. If you didn't catch it, I'm going to read to you again. Jesus is not valued at all until he's valued above all. Colossians 1:18 says it like this, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence," that is first place. He should be exalted above all. Is he exalted in your life? So as we see the name, it's above every name. It should be exalted. Number two, it should be this. It should be reverenced. Now, what does it mean to be reverenced? Or what does reverence mean? It means this, to give honor to or to respect. Look at verse number 10. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this name, listen, when you see someone who bows the knee, do you know what they're showing? They bow the knee to someone. They're showing respect. They're showing reverence. They're showing submission to the one to whom they are bowing. There has ever been a person or a name that should be reverenced, that should be bowed to? It should be the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Again, verses 5 through 8, wherefore, remember? That's why. Everything he's done for you and I, his very name should be reverenced in our lives. Many today, they do not reverence the name of Jesus. No, they use it as a curse word. They use it as a cuss word. They use it even as a cop-out, you know, and every time I hear it, it makes me cringe. And I think of the verse in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7, when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. But what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? Well, it means this. When you take his name in an empty way, that's what vain means, empty, worthless, or with an empty meaning. And when you take the name of God, when you take Jesus as a form of an emptiness or worthless way, in a way that's not reverential, all right, then it's taking it in vain. There is something that personally, we my wife and I, we do not like, and we don't like our kids to say it. But it's this. I'm going to just kind of give the acronym, all right? But it's OMG, okay? This can be a very vain way, empty way of using God's name. Now, it is true that you will find this phrase in Scripture, oh my God. But every time you find that phrase in Scripture, you will find it in a very reverent way. You will find it as David is praying and pouring his heart out to God. He is saying, oh my God. He is used in a very reverent way, but many times people use it today when they stump their toe. That's not very reverent, is it? At least it's not to me. People use it today when they get mad. That's not a very reverent way, if you ask me, to use the name of God. And that's when you use it, listen, that's in vain, meaning it's empty. It's worthless. Because I don't believe in that moment you're praying. You may be as you stump your toe and it turns that way. You might be praying, I don't know. But majority of the time, it's an irreverent way. But just as a simple example as that is, it just goes to show that people today have very little reverence for God's name. Paul, one day, as he was writing to the Roman believers in Romans chapter number 3, he was trying to prove a point that as human beings, listen, as fallen people, as a fallen race of the human race, we are all the same. Meaning that Jewish people are no better than the Gentile people and vice versa. Now, as far as gaining favor with God, okay, that's what he's getting at. But in that chapter, in Romans chapter 3, he will go on to say that there is none righteous, no, not one. And then he goes on and lists several things that people do and show their unrighteousness. He would show and say this, rather, that people are swift to shed blood, murder. He would say people whose mouths are full of cursings and bitterness. He would say that people use their tongues and use it for deceit. They are very corrupt that way. And you can see these things in people even today. But especially you can see them during the Roman people as he's writing to the Roman believers. This was kind of the norm for them during the day, during this culture. But at the end of that list, when he gets about done, he sums it up this way of why people do that. Romans chapter 3, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul summed it up. He said, listen, people do these things. You know why? They have no reverence for God. People do these things. You know why? They have no fear of God before their eyes. Because if they did have some reverence, if they did have some fear of God before their eyes, they would not do these things. They have no fear of God before their eyes. And sadly, even today, many do not reverence the name of Jesus. And you can see it in what they do, what they say, how they act. And sadly, this even goes for believers today when they respond, react, live in their flesh and not walking in the Spirit. It's very sad to see that. So let me ask you, do you reverence the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus? Those who were translating the Old Testament scriptures, it is said, I was not there, that was a long time ago, okay? But it is said, It is said when they came to the name Lord, to translate Lord, translate Yahweh, translate Jehovah into the word Lord, they would, before they did it, they would bathe themselves, get a new pen, new quill, write out the name. After they finished that name, writing out Lord, they again would throw that pen, that quill away, and go and bathe themselves again, and then continue on with their translation. That's how much they reverenced the name of God, the name of the Lord. It's remarkable. But today, people are so irreverent. When it comes, this name has been exalted above every name. There's no name like Jesus. Is this name, is His name reverenced in your life? Now, I know there's people all around us today who do not reverence the name of Christ, who do not reverence the name of God, but understand something very powerful and even fearful at the same time. That one day, those that have not bowed and those that have refused to bow to the name of Jesus, one day, they will. Those that have failed to say Jesus Christ is Lord, one day, they will. People on this side of eternity may say, I'll never say Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. They may say, I'll never say that Jesus is Lord. I'll never say it. Well, you may not hear, but one day you will. The Bible says this, that every knee, look at it again, verse number 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there may be some who say, I'll never bow the knee to Jesus. Well, you may not hear, but you will one day. Listen, do you know what every knee in Scripture means? It'll blow your minds. It means every knee. Every single person that ever has been, ever will be, will bow their knee to Jesus. Every knee will bow in reverence to the mighty name of Christ. Every knee, as the Bible says here, in heaven. What does that mean? Well, all those that are in heaven, those that are saved, those that are the saints, they will bow the knee. All those that are angels, are righteous angels, all right? In Revelation chapter 9, verse 12, listen, they will bow the knee. The Bible says this, Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues. By the way, this is all us, okay? Everybody's saved. He's talking about all believers here. Stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice. Hey, I want you to understand something. Get ready, okay, to get loud when we get to heaven. I'm just telling you, it's going to get loud, all right, in a good way. Just get ready. Might as well practice while you're here, but anyway, all right. But he said this, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, here's what you're going to shout. Here's what you're going to cry with a loud voice. You ready? Saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor, reverence, and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Understand something. We will bow at the name. We will worship this name forever and ever and ever. So you might as well get a good head start, all right? Because that's what we're going to be doing. Have you reverenced the name of Jesus in your life? So things in heaven are going to bow the knee. Things in earth are going to bow the knee. This could be all of God's creation in nature falling before Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verses 38 through 40 kind of says it this way, all right? This talks about the lowest of the low. Is what they would do. Saying, Jesus speaking, blessed be the king. This is other people speaking this. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto him, Master, we rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. One day all of nature is going to bow the knee. So not only in earth, but also under the earth. What does this mean? Well, this means that all the fallen angels will one day bow the knee. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. This means not only the fallen angels, but also Satan himself will bow the knee. Here it is, Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan will bow the knee. Fallen angels will bow the knee. And it means this, that every person that didn't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, who refused to bow this side of eternity, will bow at that day. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11 through 15 says this, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Listen, he's talking about small and great, not as in size, but as in significance. Small, the beggar on the street who no one knew. Great, as in Alexander the Great, as in Hitler, look. Whoever it may be that had a famous name, they didn't know Christ, small, great. They all stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And then the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Understand something, we'll stop there. This is not according to their works to see if they get into heaven or hell. No, that's already decided before they ever stand here. And the sea giveth the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So understand something. I know the world wants to curse God. I know the world wants to cast out the Bible as just some fairy tale and not truth. And they want to cast shadow even over you as a Bible believer. Listen, and you may think, good night, is there any hope for them? Will they ever get right with God? Well, we pray, and yes, we hope, and we witness, and we preach and teach the Word of God. I hope so, yes. But understand something, they never do. They never bow this side of eternity. Once you understand something, they will one day. One day they will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's been given a name that is above every name. His name has been exalted above all others. His name should be exalted in our life. His name should be reverenced in our life as well. But is it? Is it? And his name should be confessed as well. Called upon for salvation while there's still a chance. Confess to others so they too can have a chance. Telling people about Christ. Look, that's what needs to happen with the name of Jesus. Not used in vain, but exalted, reverenced, and confessed. Look at it again, verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, as Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, again, how about your life personally? Is his name exalted? Is it reverenced? Do you confess him to those that are around you? Do you know him yourself? Don't be ashamed of the name, the mighty name, the supreme name of Jesus Christ.